It's pretty loud on our end too, isn't Might be better. Morning, John. Before we get started this morning, I would just like you to notice something. All of a sudden, everybody got really quiet this morning. I'm walking in this room. That was for those of you who are here in person, and those of you who are electronically as well. And I was thinking of when we first started this class, which was back in the old Unity Church in the chapel, where years and years and years of meditation had taken place. And when that happens to a space, it kind of turns into a rather sacred space. It holds that energy. And what I was noticing this morning is that you all, in person as well as electronically, were bringing that energy with you this morning. So even though the surroundings might not be as sacred looking or imbued with the same sort of energy over the years, that we carry with us that energy of transformation. And that we make the room different, not the room makes us different. Same is true with all of the marvelous cathedrals over in Europe, that they have over the years, over the centuries, they have absorbed this energy of sacredness that are worshiped. When it was first built, it was probably a sense of awe at the wonder of it all. We're physically speaking, we're still working on building stuff like that. But this goes beyond the material part of things. It goes into what we consciously and unconsciously bring with us into this space. And when we bring ourselves to that space, I think we bring others to that space as well. It's not necessarily even a conscious dedication to that, but it's there. And so I'd like to thank you and be grateful for that, for each one of you, for bringing that sacredness to this space, because that blesses all of us. And not just the ones who are physically here, not just the ones who are electronically here. But this affects everyone and everything. When I unconditionally love anyone or anything, that affects all of creation. Of course, the flip side is also true. If I'm sending out vibes of hatred or anger or fear or vengeance or outrage, that carries energy that goes galloping through the universe as well. So it might be an interesting exercise today and maybe some other days, is when you recognize that you are either holding on to or feeding a piece of negative energy. Do I really want to send this out through the universe? Do I really want to send this to my kids, to my grandkids? To make it really, really practical. I thought about that one time of imagining that I was sitting next to one of my grandkids, and I'm holding on to the, and holding on. And I'm sending out the energy of this thought of outrage. And I wonder what would that be like if I was sticking him with a pin? Would I even think about doing that? Well, the answer is no. And yet that's what I'm doing essentially. Because I'm not just affecting him, I'm affecting all beings and all creation. The Book of Innocence. Innocence comes from the idea or the sense of, I guess you might say, instead of original sin, it's original blessing. That you didn't do anything wrong. You never did. And in fact, you can't, as Paul says in the book of Romans, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not what you do, not what you think, not the past, not the future, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate you from God's love. You can think it does. You can create barriers of guilt if you want to. But it still does not touch the reality of how much you are loved. Nothing can get in the way of that. Well, let's put it this way. You can get in the way of that if you want to, but not really. You can pretend, but you're never really going to be able to take away from that truth. So welcome. Welcome to the truth of who you are. As I like to say, the good news is you're not who you think you are. In fact, you never were. And you're certainly not what other people told you you were. You never were. I'm going to begin on page Roman numeral 15 in the introductions, down at the bottom of the page. And again, I want to express my gratitude for giving me the opportunity to do whatever it is that I'm doing here. But I couldn't do it without you. In fact, I probably wouldn't do it without you. The upper room, you see. Not sure whether I shared this with this group or with the other group, but the upper room has taken on a different meaning for me once I realized that the upper room and the kingdom of heaven are the same thing. All right, that's my sense. So everything I know and everything I've experienced about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, kingdom of heaven is within you, kingdom of heaven is open to the mindset of a little child. Everything I know and learned about the kingdom of heaven also applies to what they're calling the upper room. It's a state of mind, it's a state of consciousness. And it's a state of consciousness where everything exists in a different way than it does in lower consciousness. The upper room, you see, where manifestation occurs at the level we teach. Sorry, I'm on a roll this morning here. There's two kinds of manifestation.
No.
One is the one we've normally learned through Unity and through Oprah and through The Secret, things like that, is creating something that did not exist before. So I want a new Cadillac, or I want a new guitar, or I want a new camera. And I create an affirmation around that I'm kind of pushing it through the mechanical material world, making it happen through matter. There's a friend of mine, one of my first metaphysical teachers, was talking about something like this and like, let's suppose that you want an apple. He said, I believe there is coming a time in our consciousness when you will be able to hold out your hand and say apple, and there'll be an apple in. Now, for most of us, that manifestation doesn't work yet. So what we have to do is I have to get in my car and go to the grocery store and pick up an apple out of the fruit counter and go, apple. It just takes a little bit longer. I've still manifested an apple in a different way than I thought I could before. And it might take a while for me to be able to do that without having to go to the grocery store, but I still manifested an apple. So I manifested something that did not exist before. At least did not exist in my life before. That's one form of manifestation. The other form of manifestation is opening ourselves to something that already exists, that we didn't know exists, or we maybe suspected that it existed. We weren't really quite sure. So let's suppose this manifestation that they're talking about here is opening myself up to the truth of who I am. I am a unique expression of divine love. I am a unique expression of divine consciousness. I am. That always existed. Just in my limited consciousness, I never realized that as being the truth. So that's kind of the second or deeper form of manifestation, where manifestation occurs at the level we teach. That's the level they're teaching at. Is welcoming to all who would like to be here. But the world that you see today, it's a great lesson for today's understanding. The world you see today, an outpicturing of the identities of all of you, the identities that you're clinging to, usually your personality and your ego, individually and collectively, is about to undergo a level of change that none of you have ever seen or has been seen for thousands of years. Hallelujah. When's that gonna happen? I'm ready. When's it gonna happen?
Jerry,
Hang on. Paula, can you move back a little bit?
okay, move back. Is this okay?
Yeah, let me make an adjustment on my computer here. Okay.
Interesting that this is talking about this right now, because on several things I study with the Self Realization Fellowship, Paramahansa
Yes.
Yogananda, and then another group that I and they talk intently about that very thing, that we are going to see a change, an incredible change. And to some it may not seem like a positive thing, but what has happened in the realm of even astrologically, is we are in a state where matter is getting less powerful, and the energy is moving in. And in this transition, it's almost like something occurs that sweeps out one part of energy, so it makes way for a new one to come in. I thought it was very interesting.
Right. In other words, it really has to happen that way.
Yes.
And so you might look at the world as we see it right now and say, well, boy, it certainly doesn't look that way. But it's almost like a fever that has to reach a high point before it breaks. And it seems to become worse and worse and worse before it becomes better. The simple example that one of my teachers offered one time was, and I know I probably said this a number of times before, is if I pray to be in the light, or one, if I pray to be one with the light, what happens is not that all of a sudden the angels start singing and the clouds open up and this big ray from heaven comes down and sucks up all my character defects and I become one with the light, is that all of the things that are keeping me from the light come right up in my face and say, here's what you need to deal with. Because if I'm seeing it out there, anger, fear, violence, hatred, vengeance, if I see it out there, it's happening in here. That's my metaphysical truth. And so I need to change or work on changing or healing, whatever word, transformation, whatever word you want to use, of what's going on inside here so that the outside changes. I am manifesting this craziness. I am manifesting this chaos, not just me personally, obviously, but as a racial consciousness, we're doing that. And if we want to know there's a reason behind that, the reason behind that is that we've got to push that as hard as we can push it till it pops. It's like a zit getting ready to break open. And this is not a passive experience. We are not waiting for something to happen. See, that's what happened before when the Mayan calendar ran out, or the harmonic convergence happened, or whatever else. We were all sitting there waiting for something to happen, waiting for the aliens to land and straighten us out. Whatever vision you might have had for yourself. And what this is saying, I believe, is look, this is a principle we are actively involved in. We are actively involved in this sense of change, in this sense of transformation. And we are participating in this act of transformation by working on the stuff that is going on inside of me that needs to be transformed, that needs to be let go of, that needs to be healed. I'm not ignoring that. In fact, we are, by bringing it to light right now, we are working on that ourselves. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel very good. It doesn't feel warm and fuzzy. It's not supposed to. Transformation, grieving, letting go, release, it never really feels warm and fuzzy. Until maybe a little bit afterwards, or maybe a lot afterwards. But it's primary that we recognize, how did Gandhi put it? Be the change that you want to see. Be the change that you want to see. In fact, you are the change that you want to see. Not as a passive individual, but actively involved in the process of alchemy, the process of transformation. The world you see today, an outpicturing of the identities of all of you, individually and collectively, is about to undergo a level of change that none of you have ever seen, nor has been seen for thousands of years. Periodically, humanity decides that it's time for a higher alignment. And what helps us to decide, let us show you again what lower alignment looks like. And again and again and again and again. If you haven't gotten it yet, we'll go a little bit deeper. We'll show you what lower consciousness is all about. And if you don't get it now, we'll give you a little bit. Do you get it now? You would not have gotten it 5 years ago the way you're getting it now. But do you understand? Do you get a sense of what it's like to live out of lower consciousness? And if you don't, you're not paying attention. The alignment that is present now and is ongoing for the next several decades, in other words, not going to happen tomorrow, or not going to fully happen tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and everything's going to be different. Is ongoing for the next several decades. will be understood by you as the time humanity chose to reclaim its true nature. Message of Buddha was that. Message of Jesus was that. When John the Baptist came out of the desert, looking like a crazy person, he'd been living off honey and locusts, living with this camel hair suit that he had on, right? And his message was repent, which doesn't mean you did something wrong. That's been translated, well, you're a bunch of sinners who did something wrong. That's not what he meant about that at all. What he was saying was rethink. Repent means literally means rethink. You're not who you think you are. Rethink the way you look at the world. Rethink the way you've looked at yourself. Claim your true nature.
Hey, Jerry,
Yeah, Jim.
as you're reading this, what resonates with me is that I feel like this contrarian is like, the ego says, oh, shit, that's a lot of work. You know, man, personal responsibility? I got to do all that? Oh, my God. And the other thing is that I think you've mentioned this, you know, the truth, capital T, will set you free, but first it's going to annoy the hell out of you.
And you know what? We all chose to be here at this time, historically. We chose to be at this turning point historically. As uncomfortable, as painful as it might seem, we chose to be here at this moment in time. So we have work to do. When humanity chooses to reclaim its true nature, those creations that were made in fear, those ideas that are no longer useful, those ways of being that no longer serve humanity are up to be seen right in your face. That doesn't work anymore. Up to be reconsidered, up to be transformed. That you just underline that about 50 million times. I'll say that again, because you are part of this. We are all part of this. When humanity chooses to reclaim its true nature, those creations that were made in fear, those ideas that are no longer useful, those ways of being that no longer serve humanity are up to be seen, up to be reconsidered, and up to be transformed. We say up because they must be seen in a lifted state. They must be seen in a lifted state. This is a sacred moment of realization that I'm not who I thought I was. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, because I almost missed it. And boy, do we have some teachers out there right now that are teaching. They're saying, this is who you are. And our soul or our spirit says, no, I am not. And neither are you. Don't forget the last part. This is who you are. This is who I am. No, it is not. It is not who I am, and it is not who you are. You are a divine child of God. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. You don't look that way. I know you probably don't even believe that. You probably, the thought about being that has probably never even entered your mind this lifetime, and yet you still are. We say up, because they must be seen in a lifted state for you to comprehend your participation in the landscape you have created and what comes of it. The landscape you have created and your ability to transform that landscape into a different look, a different feel, a different sense than it might have had before. I remember a friend of mine one time, this was years ago, but I never forgot this. She said, how are you doing? I said, I'm a mess. She looked at me and smiled and said, you're not a mess. You feel like a mess. Thought about that Was it you? Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. You feel like a mess, but that's not who you are. Might be how you're feeling emotionally. You can't change that right away, but that's not your identity. We say up because they must be seen in a lifted state. They must be seen differently than lower consciousness tells us. They must be seen in a lifted state for you to comprehend your participation in the landscape you have created and what comes of it. When you view anything from what we call the upper room, you have the ability to perceive it in a higher strata without the investment of fear that you have so utilized to claim a world into being. Bypassing fear, going deeper than fear. If fear enters the picture, you know, fear and judgment enter into the picture. You know absolutely that you're dealing with lower consciousness awareness. Fear and judgment are always going to be a reflection of lower consciousness. Not bad, but very, very limited. And once you realize that, and say, "How, Lord, that I may see, how can I see this differently?" Because I don't, sometimes I don't know how to do that. I am so wrapped up in the things of the world, the negativity or the anger or the outrage, that I can't see it differently. I know I, and so I'm not going to beat myself up for not doing it correctly. I'm going to pray. I'm going to open my heart and open my mind and open my soul to saying, I know I can see this differently. How can I see this differently? And I will be open to however that shows up. The world that you see, you understand, is a co-creation. You are all participatory to it. And you have all been reared in fear, grown through fear, and you anticipate fear. Your expectation of more of the same is what grants you more of the same. Your expectation of more of the same is what creates and gives you more of the same. It's always, this is never going to end. It's impossible to turn this boat around. And all I'm doing is create more inertia, so I can't do it. Your expectation of more of the same is what grants you more of the same. The truth of your being, the Christ itself, or the monad, that's a word they mean. Well, monad simply means oneness, simply means unity. From my perspective, simply means unity consciousness. We are all one. We're all in the same boat. The truth of your being, the Christ itself or the monad, does not hold fear, does not exist. Or if it does exist, it exists in awareness, but not holding on to, not in power, not in energy. It is innocent. The Christ itself, the higher self, is innocent. It cannot hold the blemish of fear. And its realization through you, the manifestation of the divine in form as coming humanity, is the gift of the coming times. It's
Harry,
interesting. Yes, John.
so boy, this is really hitting me hard this morning. I have years ago, I had the privilege of working with a team on change in organizations, and we would work with Coca-Cola and Eli Lilly and Liberty Mutual and all these Fortune 100 companies. And the idea was to transform how they thought about their business and to transform the way they did their business. And we would hold these 3-day workshops. We call them design shops. We would have 60 to 100 participants come in. And we would create an environment in which they could play and explore and let go of the past and of the current situation they were in and explore new realities, new ideas, the way things could be,
And by the end of the 3 days, we were often told that they had accomplished 6 months of planning in 3 days. They had a new vision for how they were going to work. They had come to respect each other. There were times that a vice president would say, on the third day, when we finally let them share who they were in the organization, all they had to, before that was a name tag. And vice presidents would say, I had no idea we had such brilliant people in our organization. I've become best friends with someone from the mailroom. And it was a way of working that broke down those silos, it broke down the current ideas of how work should be done, of how it worked, how people should be controlled, and freed people, freed the organization to create a new reality. And we would often see incredible changes as they went forward. I was there when Kellogg's invented the breakfast bar. There were just all kinds of firsts of because of this, but it required an entirely new way of thinking, and we had to spend time letting go on the first day of what was currently there. And so I thank you for letting me share that, but this is really resonating with me because of that experience. Thanks.
Thank you, John. That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Yeah, Linda? Speak up into the mic so we can all hear you.
So much that a couple pages just blew my mind last night because it all was just hitting home and kind of bringing to a head things that I've read for the last 3 or 4 years. Two or three of the astrologers that I have followed have talked about this coming, and some are just pleading. A lady that I follow is around my age, and she is just not openly, but inwardly pleading with people who are following her. Don't give up. It's bad, but we're going into this new great age of Aquarius. We're leaving Pisces, and so many things that have been buried for years and years are bubbling up now. And then when I got to the part about the fear, and I thought, oh my gosh, what a wonderful example this past week that we saw of something or a group that was supposed to be so strong and stood for the common man and good, than these law firms that are just crumbling and falling and kissing the ring with Trump. And we thought these premier law firms would be the ones that would represent people that needed them. So all this is coming. We're seeing truths that we didn't realize before. And I think this is going to happen more and more. And this is life. I'm showing you, you're not getting it. So I'm going to take you to this next level. So you are going to realize what's going on. And all these things that are buried for years and years now are coming to the surface. That's how it hit me last night.
Thank you. Your salvation is not out there. It's not law firms, it's not even the Constitution. Your salvation is here. From your perception, what kind of a world we already see what kind of world we've created today. What kind of world are we going to create an hour from now? 2 hours from now? 24 hours from now? I'm reminded, I know I've said this one about a million times before, but it strikes me as being so poignant. That wonderful little quote from Peace Pilgrim. When enough people reach a state of inner peace, there will be no more war. When it's not going on in here, it can't be going on out there. Now, for most of us, that sounds absolutely ridiculous. It sounds stupid, it sounds silly, it sounds Pollyannish, but I believe to the core of my being that that's a reflection of the truth. When enough people reach a state of inner peace, there will be no more war. Matt.
I live out in the country, and when we moved out there, we planted apple trees. And in my mind, I saw myself as this orchard person who takes care of the orchard and grows these beautiful apples. What I discovered is that growing beautiful apples is very, very difficult. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, and I never was capable of doing it. So what I did learn is that even though the apples were lumpy, blemished, diseased in my mind, they were delicious. The actual what they were was the flavor. That was what I was looking for. And it took me years to realize that it was there all along. All these apples that I would toss because they weren't beautiful enough, they weren't good enough. And yet, you know, when I finally started harvesting the apples and making cider with them, the flavor was, it was elixir of the gods.
And it's always been there.
And it's always been there.
Thank you, Matt. Reminds me of a story of a gentleman who got lost on this country road. And was afraid to turn around because he wasn't really quite sure. So he kept going forward, figuring that I'm going to run into a farmhouse one of these moments. And actually he did, got to the top of this hill, and he saw this marvelous vista of these crops in this field. Flowers, corn, wheat, and it was just incredible, the beauty of it, all marked off. And so he went to the farmer's house, knocked on the door, and said, you know, can I use your phone? I need to find my way out of here, and blah, blah, talked about that. And he's, by the way, I just want to say, this is one of the most beautiful farms I have ever seen in my life. You know, isn't God wonderful? And the farmer said, yeah, God is wonderful, but you should have seen this place before I got here. The truth of your being, the Christ itself of the monad, does not hold fear. It is innocent, cannot hold the blemish of fear. And its realization through you, its realization through you, through the truth of who you are, the manifestation of the divine in form as common humanity is the gift of the coming times. It already exists. Now, Paul interrupts. I understand what you say. I understand the premise. And it sounds like a nice invocation. But what of us and the messes we've created? I cannot imagine that we will be so changed. I'm so perfect for today. You must understand, friends, that everything you see before you was made and will be remade in the higher template of the upper room. The usherance to the upper room, which will take several generations to complete, will claim itself in a much higher field. The vibration of the world you live in now, which you see before you, in all different ways, must be translated, must be lifted, or transposed, as we like to say, to a higher key, a higher octave of expression than the one you have known yourselves through. Can imagine looking at the world through a particular lens. Think, here's what I see with the lens of the small self. I see violence, I see anger, I see retribution, I see outrage. Suppose we change that lens so you saw the world as a, so you saw the world like Thomas Merton saw it for a couple moments, of everybody being a being of light. That didn't just happen. They didn't just happen to become beings of light because they were already were beings of light. So was he. Each of you here, each of you who hears these words in one way or another is fundamental to the change that is occurring. Your unique vision. There is no one without God, within or without. The divine as all things is this teaching, yes, and will continue to be. The idea of self as removed from God, as separate from God, must be comprehended by you as the way you have chosen to learn through in the past. The realization that you are one with God and can always be, have always been, and will always be, is a completely different level of vibrational accord than humanity has learned through thus far. Again, it was what Jesus was teaching, it was what Buddha was teaching, it was about you are one with the divine spirit. And that oneness moves to you and through you in every act of creation. I'm going to take a few minutes to meditate on that. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down. And before we even enter the meditation period, I'd just like to offer a sense of gratitude for the revelations of this morning. They hit me right where I live. And for that, I'm grateful. So as you settle into your comfortable space, breathe deeply. Relax. Soften. Take a step back from the world that we have created, recognizing that we have created it not out of blame, not out of blend, not out of shame, not out of guilt, not out of judgment. But we created it doing it the best way we knew how at the time. We forgot or lost track of the divine consciousness within. We got sucked into the material world. He who has the most toys wins. He who has the most power wins. He who is in control of the purse strings wins. He who pushes the hardest wins. We began to realize on some level of our being, probably even before we talked about it, that that doesn't work anymore. Perhaps it never did. And be okay with that. Be okay with shifting gears. Be okay with a newer outlook, a new awareness. And as you get in tune with your breathing, imagine that you are breathing in the presence of divine spirit, unconditional love. You are breathing it into your being, and it is touching every cell and fiber of you, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You're sucking it up like a sponge. And from this energy of who you truly are, you are creating a new world. A world without judgment. A world without fear. A world of unconditional love, of compassion, of awareness, of gentleness, of innocence. And all of that energy is flowing to you and through you. And as it flows through you, it begins to manifest itself in the material world around you. So even though it might take a while for this to take place and become solidified, that doesn't mean you have to wait on the act of creating it yourself. You can let that power and let that energy move to you and through you and form that new creation. Know it's there. Know it's here. I might not be able to know that through my five senses yet, but I know it is here. And it is here and it is being created here and now for each one of us. For our children, for our grandchildren, for our children's children's children. I choose to create the world anew. The power is within me. The power is in with each one of us. And so it is. Back to the rhythm of your breathing. Continuing to become aware of that creative energy that flows to us and through us. Now you don't have to wait for it to become manifest in the material world. You can create it right now in this moment. In this moment, I am at peace. In this moment, I am free of judgment. In this moment, I am open to the truth of who I am and the truth of who you are. I give thanks for this sacred space. And as I leave here this morning, I will continue to create from that space. It will be an act of love, an act of grace, an act of wholeness, an act of compassion, an act of innocence. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a great week, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. I was wondering, is there a way I can get a transcript of these sessions, or where can I get the reading materials, please? If you want to just put it in the chat.
Send me an email.
Okay.
Jerryboy@twc.com, and I'll make sure you get a list.
Would you mind putting your email in the chat, sir?
Was that again? I don't have it written out. You can get a video, and there might be a way actually of translating that into text. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, if I could get your email in the chat or someone could provide it, that would be great.
Send me that email and make sure you're on the list, okay?
Okay. I'll add my email. Thank you. Here it is.